Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Friends are friends forever if the Lord is the Lord of them. I mean, just I could have went on and on. There are so many songs about friendship out there in the world because friendship is a vital part of our lives. It's one of the common graces that every single human being on the face of the planet gets to experience. It's a common grace from God. Now, of course, the world defines friendship differently than the Bible does, doesn't it? Right? They value different things than what the Bible says is true, biblical friendship. Now this morning our text points to friendship, but it doesn't put it in the category of friendship per se. It puts it in a category that's deeper than friendship. It actually casts what we're about to talk about into the deeper category of brotherhood, family, tight-knit brotherhood. We are part of the same family. Notice how in verse 1 of our text this morning, Paul addresses our text to brethren. You see, we who are together in Christ, we're not just friends in Christ. The Bible says we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, a few months back, as we were closing up the church one evening, Jerry Strickland and my family, we went out about the same time to our vehicles, and as we were going out, you know, Jerry said something like, "All right, brother, we'll see you later." And as we got in the van, Zach almost immediately asked, said, "Dad, why did Jerry call you brother? You're not his brother." And I said, "Well, wait a minute. You know, we're brothers because the Bible says that we both believe in Jesus. We're brothers in Christ. And that's why we call each other brothers." And you could see the wheels begin to turn in his mind and in his little, you know how kids do. You can just see their eyes and they're kind of looking off and thinking. And he said, "So Moses is my brother in Jesus?" I said, "That's right." And I said, "And Chloe is your sister in Jesus. And you've got all sorts, you've got as many brothers and sisters in Jesus as you have people at this congregation." I want you to take a moment and look around you, church. Just turn around, look around. Take a view, take a gaze. You're looking at your brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given you a family. And you're surrounded by people who love you, who are for you. And the beautiful thing is that in Jesus, brotherhood and sisterhood is deeper than any worldly friendship. It goes beyond anything the world has in mind because it's based upon God and God's word. And so in our text today, we get a picture of true biblical friendship, or true, even more importantly, biblical brotherhood. Our text today describes that. And in our text, we're going to see the primary obligation to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to see a barrier to meeting that obligation. We're going to see an example of the obligation. And then finally, we're going to see the reason for this obligation. So let's look at the first thing here, the primary obligation to our brothers and sisters. It's very simple. You see it right there in the text, verse 2. Carry your brother and his burden. Just carry your brother and his burden. And now when I say brother all throughout this sermon, don't just hear man, don't just hear males, men. I imply sister here too, right? Women, we're to carry one another's burdens. And in doing so, we're going to carry one another. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. You know, really there's an assumption that's implied in this verse here. The assumption is that you and I, every person who's been born on the face of this earth, is going to have a burden in their lifetime. Every one of us, that's the lot of life, that you're going to face some difficulty, you're going to face some trial, you're going to face some temptation, something in your life is going to be tough. And the Bible says it's going to come, not just a burden, but plural, burdens. You all know what I'm talking about as you look back over your life from your own experiences, trials, tribulations, troubles, right? Depressions, difficulties, diseases. Life just doesn't go as planned. right? Life threw you a curveball and you weren't ready for it, right? Life's not always easy, is it? Right? Things in life are often burdensome. But the real truth contained in this verse, and I want you to hear me closely this morning, the truth that's contained in this verse is if you are facing a burden right now, whatever it is, I mean, there are as many burdens as there are people, times many more, right? We're carrying burdens. The truth contained here is that you were not meant, God has designed it, that you were meant to not bear that burden you're carrying alone. He's designed it that way. It's supposed to be carried together. We're to lighten the load of our brothers and sisters. If we see that they're weighed down, we do everything in our power to keep them from being crushed, to keep them from being destroyed. You know, the religious leaders in Jesus' day, they did the absolute opposite of that. They did. Look at Matthew 23, verse 4. Matthew 23, verse 4. Here's what Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, they tie up heavy burdens, the Bible says. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. They said, oh my goodness, the Pharisees did. That looks heavy. And then they'd cross their arms and they'd say, that ain't heavy enough. They need more. And the Bible says, Jesus said the opposite. We're to say, oh my goodness, that looks heavy. Can I help you with that? Can I carry that with you? Will you let me have a piece of it to carry it along with you so that you're not crushed? You know, burdens come in all shapes and sizes. I don't know what it is you're facing. Maybe your current burden is financial. The work has gotten slow. Maybe you don't have any work at all. Or maybe you're on a fixed income, as many of you are. And you're finding it more and more difficult to make it stretch from the first of the month to the end of the month. Maybe that's the burden you're facing. Or maybe you've had some catastrophic thing. You've been injured at work and you've not really been able to work like you normally do. You weren't able to plan for this catastrophe in your life. And so financially right now you are burdened. The Bible says, let your brothers and sisters in Christ carry that with you. Maybe your current burden is physically. I know some of you even now are struggling in your body with old age or with injuries. Your body's beginning to fail you. Or you've been fighting against some sort of disease or some injury. The Bible says, let your brother and sister in Christ carry that burden with you. Maybe your current burden is emotional. You've lost someone dear to your heart. That person that you didn't expect to die, died. And you're having trouble coping with that, or you're just stressed out, man. Work is tough. The kids are tough. Your spouse is tough. Life is tough. Ministry here at the church is tough. And you're carrying that burden. The Bible says, give it to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Or maybe your current burden is spiritual. There's a sin in your life that is kicking your bottom every chance it gets. Or you and your spouse, you're growing apart. Or your children are rebellious right now. Or maybe your affections for God have grown cold. You don't love God like you used to love God. All of these are serious burdens, aren't they, church? These are crushing burdens, and we're not meant to carry them alone. God has surrounded us with a cloud of witnesses, a multitude of people, brothers and sisters, it says, to carry these burdens, to help us. Now, I know we're to be strong. Yeah, right. The scripture, time and time again, says quit trying to be so independent and be dependent on God, on one another. I know what it says in Psalm 55, verse 22. I know what it says. It instructs us to cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. But one of the ways, I declare to you this morning, this is true, one of the ways that God bears your burden and sustains you is through human beings who love us, who help us carry the burden of our load. You know, as we look at Galatians chapter 6 here, our text this morning, verses 1 through 5, in actuality, this verse isn't even addressed to the one who has the burden. It's not. I mean, that's going to happen. What matters to Paul is whether or not we're going to come alongside someone and help them bear the burden. It's addressed to the Christians, to the brothers and sisters of the one with the burden. Scripture's saying, it's telling us to see people's need and help them with it. When we do that, Paul says we fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it very well might be that Paul's referring back here to chapter 5, verse 14 here in Galatians. We covered this just a few weeks ago. When he says we fulfill the law of Christ when we do this, Paul wrote in Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so when Paul's talking about the law of Christ, maybe he's here referring to that love being the key to the entire Old Testament, to the entire law of the Bible. He's calling the entire law the law of Christ. That's a possibility. But also maybe he's more specifically referring to Jesus' teaching that's contained in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. And you all probably know this well. John 13, verse 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment, this is Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Whichever one he's talking about here, Paul, whichever Paul is talking about, the case is, the point is that Jesus has commanded us to love our fellow man, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we do this by bearing or carrying our brother and sister's burdens. So that's our primary obligation. Carry your brother's burdens. And in doing so, you actually carry your brother. Carry your brother and his burdens. But you know what? Often there's a huge barrier, isn't there? There's a huge barrier to that obligation being met. It's called pride. Pride often bars our obligation from being met. Pride is a terrible sin. I believe it's the root of all sin. Verse 3 here in our text points us to one of the greatest barriers to bearing one another's burdens, right? Look what it says, verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. As you can tell from my point here, this has pride written all over it. Pride can be in the one who has the burden, right? They're prideful. They do not want someone else to carry it with them. Or it can be in the brother and sister of the one who has the burden. And they don't really want to help. They're too prideful to help the person in need. Let's think about this morning. For the one who's carrying the burden, how does pride enter into this? And we've all been there before, right? You're struggling in an area of your life, and you don't want anyone else to know it, right? You want to keep it to yourself. You want to be that man or woman who stands on their own two feet, who bears their own load. And in your sinful pride, you will not let people in. You will not let people help. We don't want to look weak. We don't want to look like a failure. So we never ask for help. And if somebody does recognize our weakness, if someone does recognize our burden and they come and they lovingly offer help, what does our pride lead us to do when they offer help? Thanks, but I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I appreciate it. I'm doing fine. Or maybe you offer that typical spiritual answer. I'm okay. I'm just trusting the Lord right now. I'm just trusting the Lord. Dear one, If this is you, you have a burden, and your pride this morning is keeping you from letting others in to help you bear the burden, let me warn you that you very well might be cutting yourself off from the very help from God that you've been praying for, that you've been asking for. You've probably heard before the illustration of the man and the flood, right? The flood waters began to rise, and he was on his front porch, right? The waters hadn't got up to his porch yet, but it was getting higher. And this lady come by in a boat, and she said, "Listen, I've got room. Come on in before the waters get higher." And he said, No. I'm just trusting the Lord today." And so she, all right, she goes on by, and the water begins to rise, which causes the man to have to go up to the second story of his house. I mean, it's getting deep. It's getting fast out there. And a lifeboat comes by, right? The rescue squad and the boats, they come by and they beg him, "Please, we've got room. Get in. Come on." And the guy says, No. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord." And they say, "Okay." Well, the waters keep rising and rising, and you've heard this before. Finally, he has to get on the roof of his house, and a last-ditch effort, they bring in a helicopter, and they drop a rope down, and they've got the megaphone, and they say, "Please grab the rope, and we'll pull you to safety. We'll lift you up so that you will be saved and you'll not drown." And the guy says, "Thanks, but no thanks. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord." And the water sweeps him away to his death eventually. And when he stands before God, he says, "Lord, why in the world didn't you save me?" And God answers back to him, "What do you mean? I sent two boats and a helicopter," right? You see the point of that? The point is that God chooses often to work through human agents. If you are just waiting on the Lord, if you're just trusting in God, it very well might be that God is answering your prayer through human beings. It's not going to be just some miraculous finger or lightning bolt or whatever else you're expecting to come from the sky. God works through common means just as he does through miraculous means. And he very well might be answering your prayer through your brothers and sisters who are coming to you and are asking you, "Do you need any help? I would love to help you." But that's one side of the issue. That's pride with the one who has the burden. Often there's pride also in the brother and sister who's been commanded to help with the burden, right? Sometimes we just think we're too good to get our hands dirty. We don't have time for that. We're too good for that. We're above that. We don't want to get our hands soiled with the troubles of another person's life. And so we just back away, right? We think we're something, and we refuse to stoop down into the muck and the mire of whatever pit it is that our brother and sister have fallen into. But you know, I mean, it usually doesn't come out that way. Someone is usually not brazen enough to just say, "I'm too good to help." It usually doesn't come out. It usually comes out in this way. It usually comes out in this way through a judgmental spirit, right? It usually reveals itself, pride in this way usually reveals itself in a judgmental spirit that lacks compassion. In our pride, we say or we think things like, "They're getting whatever they deserve, and I hope they learn their lesson this time." And when we say things like that, it all comes back to thinking that we are better than the other person, that we would never get in that sort of situation. But that's not fulfilling the law of Christ, is it? That's not being Christ-like. Jesus didn't say in pride, "They're getting what they deserve. They better learn their lesson this time." Paul describes it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8 in this way. Look there with me. Flip over just a few pages. Philippians chapter 2. Jesus didn't just say they're getting what they deserve. He jumped down into the pit and pulled us out. Drug us out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. Look at Jesus' attitude when it comes to others who are burdened, to others who need help. "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus didn't say they're getting what they deserve. He said, I want to bear their burden for them. Jesus humbled himself. He served others. In fact, he bore our burdens even in his own body, our sins. Therefore, the Bible says we should bear one another's burdens. You know, pride from both sides can so easily bar this obligation from being met. But we must not deceive ourselves. We must not think we're something, the Bible says, when we are actually nothing. So church, here's what I want us to do. I want us to give pride the boot. Let's get pride out of the church so that we can share the load of our burdens, so that we can love one another. But how are we to bear one another's burdens? Luckily, fortunately, by the providence of God, by the oversight of God, Paul has provided us with an example. Look here, an example this morning. Gently restore an erring brother. Here's the example. Gently restore an erring brother. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 gives us a command in general, but then look at verse 1. Verse 1 gives us the command in specific. Right? We've got the general command, bear one another's burdens. And then we get the specific, the example here. Verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. So Paul's saying here, friends, that one of the ways that we bear one another's burdens is to help each other when we get caught up in sin. This is just one of the ways that we bear one another's burdens. There are many ways. But Paul says this is one of the ways. Help one another when we get caught up in sin. You know, sin has a place in the believer's life even after they've been born again in big and small ways, regrettably. You know, from your own life, you've sinned in big and small ways since you've been born again. And the Bible says we'll experience this struggle, this tension that Paul has been talking about in Galatians 5. Between the flesh and the Holy Spirit for our lives. We're gonna experience that struggle until the day we die or Jesus returns. And sadly, sometimes the flesh wins, doesn't it? Sometimes the flesh wins out, just for a period of time, but the flesh sometimes wins. And the burden of your sinful flesh sometimes just becomes too heavy for you. You can't bear it alone. You need someone else to come alongside you. And that's why God gave us each other, the church. Therefore, if a brother or sister is caught in any sin, picture in your mind they're a trap, right? A bear trap or a beaver trap, or, you know, you've all seen them, right? Those steel traps that they pull open and set, kind of like a mouse trap in the woods, and they've got big teeth, and when the animal steps on it, it clenches their foot. Breaks there and holds onto them and they can't run with it. Picture that in your mind when Paul says, if anyone is caught in any sin, we are to work, he says, to restore them. Now this Greek word that we get restore from, katartizo, was a term in the ancient Greek world in the field of medicine. And it was used as the term for when a doctor would set a broken bone. How many of y'all have had a doctor set a broken bone before? You've had a broken bone, and you've had the doctor take it and put it back together, right? And is it painful? I hear it is. I've never had it happen. But I know I always see on TV they scream a whole lot when that happens. It's painful. They set that bone so that the bone can heal. It's been fractured or dislocated. That's the picture that we're talking about here for restoring. In the scripture, the same word is used for mending nets in Mark. In the book of Mark, the fishermen would restore or mend their nets when they'd gotten torn or broken or pulled apart. So Paul's talking about here about fixing something that's broken, namely a life that's been ravaged by sin, that's been fractured and torn by sin. Now, I've been in church leadership long enough to know that contemporary Christians, we typically ignore this aspect of bearing one another's burdens. Right? We don't want to be in other people's businesses. We usually say things like, that's none of my business. Or, I don't want to get in the middle of that. But would that be your attitude if you passed by a church member's house on the way home this evening from church and you saw fire coming out the windows and you saw smoke coming out the roof? Right? Would that be your attitude? That's none of my business. I don't want to get in the middle of that. Of course, that wouldn't be your attitude. Man, you'd dial 911. You would get a Pell Brigade or a water hose. You would knock on the windows and doors, and if you were able to, you would probably even run in the burning house and try to pull people to safety. But when it comes to weighty eternal matters like sin, we so often just sit idly by. Friend, let me tell you this morning, if you love your brother and sister, and they're caught in any sin, it is your business. If you love them, to get in the middle of the situation and intercede for them. In fact, if you do not, it says more about you than it says about them. Notice what it says in verse 1 again. Notice what it says. Even if anyone is caught in any trespass, notice what it says. You who are what? What's it say, church? Spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Spiritual Christians, church, work to restore erring brothers and sisters, right? And unspiritual Christians, they just turn their heads. If you turn your head, you're declaring to the world, I am not following the Holy Spirit. I am not being led by the Holy Spirit. People who are being led by the Holy Spirit cannot but help and lovingly get involved and help bear the burden. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's domestic abuse or whatever it might be. We've got to help carry that burden. We've got to work to restore. So bear your brothers and sisters' burdens by restoring them when they fall into sin. But I want you to notice the spirit in which you're to do it. Notice the spirit here in verse 1. First, we're to do it with gentleness or meekness in the King James Version. Notice that there. In other words, we're to restore them in a loving way. We don't do it in a way that tears down or is condescending or destructive. Right? We should offer grace. We should offer mercy. We should offer forgiveness if they will only repent of their sin. And secondly, Paul says we should do it humbly. We should do it humbly. Paul tells us in verse 1 to look to ourselves as we restore an erring brother or an erring sister so that we too will not be tempted. That means that we go into this process of restoration knowing that but for the grace of God, the table could be turned and we could be sitting there, the one who's been caught in some trespass. We realize that we are all men of clay feet and we so easily go astray. We're all prone to wander. That we're not holier than thou. And if we'll do that, that's humility. You keep in mind that you're a sinner too. And you know what? When you come at something humbly, that gives rise to gentleness too. So we've seen our obligation to bear one another's burdens. We've seen the barrier of pride as a major barrier to meeting this obligation. And we've seen an example of how we're to bear one of those burdens. But Finally, I want us to look at the reason for this obligation. The reason is this, it's very simple. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Look at verse 4 and 5. It says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. Part of our judgment, one aspect of what Paul's saying here is that part of our judgment when we stand before Jesus Christ is going to be how you and I have helped our brothers and sisters with their burdens. Jesus is going to look to us and they'll say, you remember when Sally was struggling? How did you help her in that way? You knew about it. How did you help her in that way? That's going to be part of your judgment. But I also think Paul is pointing to something else here. I think what Paul's trying to say here is that on the day of judgment, each person will be judged individually. That's why we must, as individuals, we must examine our own work. Because on that day, you will bear your own load. And I will bear my own load. At that point, there will be no help from our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord will say, what did you do with your life? But here's the beautiful thing that Paul is trying to push here. Until that day, until the day when we have to bear our own load, until that day, we have the privilege and opportunity to have others bear it with us. That's one of the joys that we have. When my brother and sister in Christ bears my burden in this age, I think what Paul's saying here is that they actually lovingly help me in the age to come, right? My sanctification, my perseverance, my ministry, ours, it's a team effort, right? So when we help each other, we actually help each other to greater and greater rewards in heaven. We're not in competition against each other, right? We fully believe that. I mean, this is a team here. We're not in competition. I know the Bible says there's going to be rewards in heaven, but praise God, I want you to get more than I get. And I pray that we would all have that attitude, that we would consider others before ourselves. And in doing so, we strive together for greater and greater heights. Friends, when we bear one another's burdens, there are untold benefits for all of eternity. All of eternity. My desire is to be a part of a church that epitomizes that, that is an example of what Paul's talking about here in Galatians 6. And my prayers are simple. They're simple, but they're so massive. I pray that our pride would fall. I pray that our love will rise. Pride down, love up. I pray that our lack of compassion would shrink, and that our burden for one another would grow. May we bear our brother's burdens and joyfully fulfill the law of Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.